As I begin the study today, I want to deal with the first passage I want to deal with is John 1. So if you want to turn in your Bible to John 1, John 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that hath been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. Oh, this is a profound passage. When it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, in the original, the idea is an emphasis on God. He was God. In English, we just underline it. The Word was God. And emphasizes the same was in the beginning with God. The idea is always was. Always was. It's an imperfect tense. So it always was. In the beginning, He already was. See that? He was. Of eternal duration. And in verse 5, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. I think apprehended is better translated as overcame it not. So the darkness could not overcome the light. Then there came a man sent from God whose name was John. Now this is John the Baptist. The same came for witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. Now John explains he, that is John the Baptist, was not the light. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. But then there was the true light. And this is a reference to Jesus. There was the true light, even the light which lighteth every man coming into the world. And He was in the world. And it really enhances the fact that we just observe the Lord's Supper. To me, it just heightens the idea. And it's sad the way the world treated Jesus. As Mike pointed out, He was in the world, and the world knew Him not. He was in the world, and the world knew Him not. Still does not. He came unto His own, the Jews, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh. The incarnation. The Word became flesh. He was born. Came to this earth. As Mike said, 700 years later, after Isaiah, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, there are several passages that I want to look at. That passage is a wonderful passage. And the next passage is in Philippians chapter 2. Listen to this passage as we continue to heighten the idea of who Jesus was. This is written by Paul. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, being made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and gave unto him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful passage, written by inspiration. And I have to always think of how wonderful it was. Now I'm turning to John. I'm looking at several passages, and this one is in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 30 through 39. All these are connected together. Jesus is talking to the enemies, and he says, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered, he asked them, many good works have I showed you from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? They were preparing to stone Jesus. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered and said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered and said, is it not written in your law, Psalm 82 and verse 6? In the law, written by David, is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? And in that context, what the passage had to do with the judges, the men that acted priests and judges that settled things among the people. Is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? Now then, look at what he says. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, in the sense of the judges, and so on, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme because I am the Son of God? Because I say I'm the Son of God? If you really think about that, who had the right to say, I'm the Son of God, if it were not the only begotten Son of God? And even in the law, Jesus said, it is written, you're God. That was in a lesser sense. The judges and priests, so on, things like that. If they could be called the Son of God, surely Jesus could be called the Son of God. Now in John 5, verses 17 and 18. Again, we see sort of the same discussion taking place. In verse 16, for this cause the Jews persecuted Jesus. See that? The Jews persecuted Jesus because he did these things on the Sabbath. They did not realize if he did these things on the Sabbath, by what power was he doing it? If not the divine power. If he was doing it by the divine power, how could they criticize? How could they criticize? But Jesus answered them and said, my Father worketh even until now. It's just so profound. to see Jesus uniting with the Father in his own mind and in his own words. My Father worketh even until now, and I work. For this cause the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only brake the Sabbath, but also called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And you see, Jesus did not say, oh, you've misunderstood me. See, he did not do that. Because he said, yes, I am God. You've got that right. I am God. You've got that right. In Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, again, you know, every passage I'll say is profound, especially in the writings of John. But this Hebrew writer is also very profound. As in Hebrews chapter 1, God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers and the prophets by divers portions and in divers manners, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the effulgence of his glory and the very image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made purifications for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. These words hath at the end of these days, this is the Hebrew writer talking about Jesus, spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. In Hebrews 2, I will tell of the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Isn't that amazing? Through whom also he made the worlds, who being the effulgence of his glory. That word effulgence is not a word that is common to us, but it means the radiance, the shining forth. Jesus was not the reflection of God's glory. He was the shining forth of God's glory. In other words, when you saw him, you saw God. That's the point being made. The effulgence of his glory and the very image, that word image. We would recognize that in Greek. Charakter. Charakter. Now we could understand that better if we said character. Do we know what a character is? What about on the typewriter? A character. When you press the typewriter and it types, what does the image look like? The same. And that's the point being made. He is the image of the character of God. The character of God. Oh, so amazing. In Colossians, back in Colossians 1 and verse 15. All right, listen to this now. Colossians, we're continuing to note passages that heightened the deity and the character of Jesus. Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God. How could you be the image of something invisible? Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, firstborn does not mean literally he was born first, but it is his rank. It's his rank. He's the firstborn. Like in a family, the firstborn would be the one that gets the inheritance. The firstborn of all creation. And then in Colossians 2, again, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bodily. When you saw Jesus walking about in that body, deity was there. Deity was there. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Him ye were made full, who is the head of all principality and power. We could be made full in Jesus because He was Himself the fullness of deity. You see that? He was the fullness of deity. Now I'm turning back to John 12. All right, John 12, verses 36 through 43. Now, Mike, you will understand this. We were studying this in our class on Thursday. John 12, 36 through 43. Beginning in verse 35, these things spake Jesus, and He departed and hid Himself from them. But though He had done so many signs before them, before the Jews, though He had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on Him. They did not believe that the word of Isaiah might be fulfilled, which He spake. And it is amazing. Now, Isaiah, as Mike said, preached over or prophesied over 700 years before Christ. Now here in the day of Jesus, a prophet, an apostle, is quoting this. And he says, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now you see in the day of Isaiah, the idea is, who hath believed our report? In Jesus' day, the idea is, who hath believed our report? The same thing. The same point is made. For this cause they could not believe again. You know, you want to know why they could not believe? For this cause they could not believe. For that Isaiah said, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and should turn and I should heal them. Now the reason why they were turned off was because Jesus was telling them what they needed to hear. The reason in Isaiah's day why they were turned off was because He was telling them the things they needed to hear. When you're being told the things you ought to hear, you need to pay attention. So in verse 41, these things said Isaiah because he saw His glory. He saw His glory. Now when did Isaiah see His glory? We'll see in a minute. Because he saw His glory and spake of Him. Nevertheless, even of the rulers, many believed on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for the glory that is of men, more than the glory that is of God. Now I'm going back to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 is the story of the commission of Isaiah the prophet.
in verse 1, chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. Now, my brothers and sisters, this is Jesus. What John says confirms that this that Isaiah is talking about is Jesus. When in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw that John, Isaiah is saying, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. But the Lord is Jesus. I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train or His glory filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook with the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then Isaiah was very, very troubled. Then said I, Woe, woe is me, for I am undone because of a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts. I've always loved the idea that God says, You confessed your sin. I can do something about that. When you confess your sins to God, He can deal with that. When you say, I have not sinned, the only thing He could do then is try to convict you of sin. But when He has someone that says, I have sinned, God can deal with that. And He will deal with it. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs off the altar. And he touched the lips of Isaiah with that coal. And the idea was it purged the sin. It purged away the sin. Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin forgiven. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said in the words of the song, Here am I, send me. Here, what's the job? I don't know. Yet, he hasn't even told what the job is. He said, I'll do it. That means whatever it is. Whatever it is. All right, Isaiah. Go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. In other words, Isaiah was going to tell a rebellious people things they didn't want to hear. So how does God deal with it? When He has somebody that doesn't want to hear, does God say, Well, I better not tell him because he won't like it? Is that the way God does? No, He says, Tell him anyway. Tell him anyway because I want them to have no excuse to say, But I didn't know. You will know. That was the idea. Now the last passage that I have is again in John 8. And all of these passages are so profound, especially in the writings of John. John 8. John 8, verses 56 through 58. Now again, unfortunately, Jesus having a bitter, not himself bitter, but a very bitter discussion with his enemies. And I want to begin with verse 52. The Jews said, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died. Abraham died and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my word, he shall never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died and the prophets died? Whom makest thou thyself?" And Jesus said, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me." And the way his Father glorified him was by working wonders and signs through him. "It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom ye say that he is not your God." That's pretty interesting. Of whom ye say, he is not your God. "And ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be like you, a liar. But I know him and keep his word." Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Jesus is saying this. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. That means in the days of Abraham, he saw. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said unto him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am." Using the same words that God told Moses when he identified himself, he said, "I am that I am." And when he was saying that, he meant that particular one. I am that, the self-existent one. That's what Moses was being instructed by God. I am that one, the self-existent one. And that's what Jesus was saying when he said, "Verily I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am." I am the self-existent one. That means he was identifying himself with God. And so that concludes the lesson. Because what we've done is look at the deity of Jesus. Primarily with John's writing, but also the apostles. Paul. And so I give that to you. I think it's a wonderful study. I like it. I hope you've enjoyed it. So as you think about this, think about yourself. Think about what you are. Think about where you are spiritually. And particularly as we have observed the Lord's Supper, think about Jesus. Think about your attitude toward Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Really? And I would hate to say you don't, but I wonder, do you? If you believe in Jesus Christ, then what should you do about it? You cannot neglect this. Because if you neglect it, you're going to be lost. You will be lost. God does not want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. And be baptized unto the remission of your sins, that your sins may be forgiven. It may be that you are a child of God, but you've not been faithful. Why don't you repent? Come back to the Lord. Repent of your sins. Restore the first works. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.